Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of James, chapter 5. James, chapter 5. I believe this is week 16, might be week 17, on our topic of faith. Now, you know I'm not one of these expository preachers that takes things word by word, and we're going to take 3 months to get through one chapter. I'm topical, but we're taking the topic of faith, and we are going to hit it from many different angles. We have already. I'll do just a little review, and then we're going to jump into tonight. Now, I need everybody to look at me for a second here. In my own shy, timid way, I'm probably going to stomp some things tonight, so hang in there. I have plenty of scripture to back everywhere we're going with this thing. Say, well, I don't care what you've always heard. What God says is more important than what you've heard. The tradition of men is not as important as the Word of God. And that's what we're going after here. So now, faith is what we've been talking about. Let me remind you what faith is. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith is not a belief. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. That doesn't mean they have faith. Faith is the ability to see a need, doing all you can to fill that need, and letting God supply the rest of it. That is, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's either having a need or a desire that you have. You've done all you can do, and you're waiting for God to do the rest. Everybody understand that? Now, that word waiting doesn't mean you sit on your blessed assurance doing nothing. You keep obeying what you do know to do. And we've been through some of that. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about faith for healing and faith for the sick. Faith for healing, by the way, I'm not going to slap anybody on the forehead. They're not going to flop on the floor and get up and say they've been healed, all right? But we're going somewhere with this, so listen to me carefully. Look at James chapter 5, verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. That's the people that are single. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Brother Barnes just got that. Sorry. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And watch this. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And we're going to stop there. Now, listen to me and keep your Bibles open. Keep them ready. We're going to use them. And usually I put something in that I get real excited about towards the end because it keeps me going, but I couldn't put it at the end. I had to put it at the beginning tonight. So hang in there. We live in a world that has a perverted, corrupted, and misused teaching about healing and faith. There are religious idiots out there supposedly saying they can help you get healed if you just have enough faith. You got to have the faith. Send me your seed money, Oral Roberts said, and I'll make sure you get healed. They can, by the way, they're all a bunch of filthy liars. I don't care what name you attach to it. Healing by faith is not some weird version of the power of positive thinking. Everybody doing okay? Healing by faith isn't some preacher walking up and saying, what's your affliction? Well, do you have faith? Oh, yes, I have faith. And they slap you in the head and you fall on the floor. Where I grew up in Ohio, there was a fella. How many of you know the name Ernest Angley? All right. Ernest Angley was about that tall, about that wide, looked like a penguin, and the only human I knew that could make a five-syllable word out of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm thinking, okay, that guy doesn't know how to talk, all right? And he just one of those weird guys. Folks, it's not this, well, I believe God will heal me and something spooky happens. I'm going to make a statement here. This is that little gold nugget that I usually tuck at the end. It's coming at the beginning. Here it is. You ready? Healing in the Bible was not limited to Christians. Healing by faith in the Bible was not limited to Christians. Think of how many people Jesus healed who were not even saved. First person comes to mind, when the soldiers came to get him in Gethsemane, Peter took a sword out and was trying to whack Malchus's head off, missed him, whacked his ear off. Jesus reached down, picked it up, and put it on his head, and he was healed. I don't think Jesus said, "Do you have the faith?" This is the guy that was leading him to Calvary. Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel was sick for many, many months. He actually became infected with a disease that made him crawl on all fours and eat grass like a cow. And by the way, it is a real disease. It still happens today. And for many, many, many months, Nebuchadnezzar was crawling around on his hands and knees eating grass like a cow. And God healed him from it. Naaman, how many of you remember the story of Naaman and had the little Jewish maid and he had leprosy and she got him to go to the Jordan River because that's what God said do. Even his top men said, just go do it. And he said, this is stupid. He didn't have the faith to get healed, but guess what? God healed him. Everybody doing all right? I wonder how many people, the Bible talks about that the multitudes thronged him. There were people that he went to and just healed them. I don't think all of them were saved. I don't think all of them said, I got the faith. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. These religious faith healing services are nothing more than staged emotional experiences to make money and fame and involve no more faith than the average rock concert. Did you hear? Benny Hinn's in the hospital with heart problems. The most well-known faith healer of this generation, and he went in the hospital for heart troubles. I read an article, and it said that his local physician, he goes to the doctor, but he believes in faith healing. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. Hold on. I do know that God is the one who does all healing. Now, he often uses man and man's knowledge of medicine to aid in healing. Sometimes he'll use natural things and man's knowledge of natural things. And sometimes God supernaturally chooses to heal someone. But may I say this? God also allows the sowing and reaping process of sin to take hold of our bodies as well, because that is man's punishment for sin. Everybody doing all right?
Yes,
okay, we're going somewhere. Here we go. Here in James 5, verses 13 through 15, God tells us how to pray for the healing of sickness. I want you to notice something. It doesn't say every time you pray for someone to be healed that they are going to be healed of that sickness. I've said it before. I'll say it again. God is not some genie in a bottle and you rub it and tell him what you want and he pops out and says, okay, Shazam, there you go. God is not the genie in the bottle that obeys your every command. So, it does not say that every time you pray for healing, the answer will be granted as a yes. It also is not some circus show that everybody comes to watch. I want to take the Bible and show you what God says about faith and healing. Now, don't get mad at me. We're going to start at the beginning. God made man to live forever. When God created man in the Garden of Eden, he created him and his body to live forever. That's common knowledge. By the way, that's not evolution. Devolution has never been right. They've proven it wrong so many times that now they're not even saying that the Big Bang never happened. We could have told them that. So all you got to do is read the Bible.
Right.
Sin has cursed man's health into what I'm going to use the term into a death process. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. That's all the way at the beginning of your Bible. Now, look at verse number 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. She'll bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Now look at me, if you will. I want you to notice this curse that happened because of sin was multi-layered. We did not read the couple verses before then, verses 13, 14, and 15, but God cursed the serpent, caused him to go from being upright to crawling on his belly, eating dust. Then he cursed the woman. There was a curse placed on women because of the fall. Number one, it says that greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And I will be as sensitive as I can be on this, but ladies are known for not being real stable because of the chemical balances or imbalances in their body. They're in an instability, happy, sorrow, happy, sorrow, happy, sorrow. Part of that is due, ladies, you can get mad at Eve for that one, amen? She is the reason for all of that, all right? But there's also a curse on man. God said, number one, you're going to sweat. Man had never sweated before. And also, he said, there's a death that took place because of that. But there's also, I want you to notice something, the Bible says that God cursed the ground. Huh. Look at the middle of verse 17. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now, there's a reason I say that. There was surgery before the fall of man. Did you know there were medical procedures going on by God teaching man? Look at Genesis chapter 2. That's turned back a page. Look at verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man." Now, God did the first surgery on earth and taught Adam what he was doing. He actually opened up Adam's side, took a rib out, closed up Adam's side, and then made woman from that bone. That's why Adam said, "Thou art now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Now, look at me if you will. I believe God did that not only to create Eve, but also to teach Adam about the anatomy and how our bodies work and what could be done to help fix them. Now, watch this very carefully. Man and earth were both cursed by sin. God made man to live forever. I've been with many, 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 many people as they've passed from this life to the next. Here's a statement I hear a lot. Oh, they were fighting clear to the end. I say their body was doing what it was made to do. It was made to live. It was struggling between doing what God wanted it to do and the sin that man brought to it. That's what the fight is. It's not that it was fighting to live. It was fighting not to die because of sin. God made this body to live. It's the most complex machine there is because of that. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Don't crucify me till you listen to the whole thing. Faith is a result of sin. There was no need for faith before sin. because man and God talked freely face to face on earth. And every question they had, they asked God and trusted God for it. Because of sin, there is now a separation between God and man. Everybody see that? When I would punish my children, I know it's hard to look at my daughter and think she ever did anything wrong, but I would sometimes have to punish her. Do you know that as I was punishing her, I didn't let her come up and hug me? I didn't go coddle her. There were times she has her father's blood in her and she'd get a little stubborn. I know that's really hard to believe. But there were times we had more than one powwow in a session. I'd say, you're going to go do this. Mm-mm. And we'd have a little pow and she'd wow. And I'd say, go do this. And she'd say, mm-mm. And we'd do another powwow. Now, her brothers were more stubborn than she, but we did go through this. And the whole time I didn't say, oh, come on, honey, if you just do this, it'll be, Either you do it or you're going to get it again. I have one more pow than you have wow, don't worry. And we'd get through it. After it was over, then the relationship would be restored. Do you ever notice when somebody has to go to jail, they are separated from society? That's part of the punishment. That separation is part of a punishment. Now, here we go. Man, because of sin, now needs to trust and obey due to that separation. That is called faith. Now, man will still live forever in heaven or hell, but his body on earth is cursed. What's inside the human body will live forever. It has to live forever. God made it to live forever. Now, the question is, will it go to heaven or will it go to hell? We know there's a way that God made for man to go to heaven, and if he trusts Christ as Savior, he'll go to heaven. If not, he'll go to hell forever in eternity. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Everybody look at me very carefully and listen to every word. This is why, whether you believe medicine or natural cures, none of it is an exact science. None of it. Not one bit of it. See, all of it comes from an imperfect man and an imperfect earth. I don't care what herb you chew on, what pond water you drink, what grain you chew on, or what pill you pop. None of it is an exact science. Did you know I'm going to use something weird, the barley grain you drink came from the same place the aspirin came from? The same ground. Every bit of it. So, well, I'm not here to debate which one you'd rather do. That's up to you. But I just want you to understand, it doesn't work for everybody the same way. Probably 20 or more years, I've taken bee pollen almost every day of my life. I used to have horrendous sinus problems. Bee pollen works for me. I've probably helped 300 or more people with bee pollen. I could give you probably that many more people that tried it and it didn't work. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. That's why it's called practicing medicine, because it's not an exact science. There is nothing exact about it, because not only is the science corrupt because of man's sin, but the earth is corrupt in the cure from where things come from. And guess what? We don't go to the moon, scrape up dirt, and find substances up there and bring it back to earth, put it in a drink and drink it, and shazam, you're healed. So even the things that man uses as medication or things that grow in the ground, I find it humorous. And I don't mean this. And by the way, I'm not saying I'm for or against either. I think there's a good balance of both, personally. But listen to this statement. You go to the average natural store, look how many weeds are there, and that's a result of sin. Every bit of it came because of the fall of man. Now, I'm not saying every one of those is a bad thing to take. If it helps you, I'm for it. Now, I'm not for saying medical marijuana is a good thing. No, it's filthy, wicked, rotten, and it's sin, and it's wrong. Okay? So God made man to live forever. Number two, the prayer of faith that heals. Look at James 5 again. Look at verse number 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if, now we'll stop right there, the prayer of faith. Now, here's what faith is. Remember, faith is a what? What did the Bible say in Hebrews 11? Faith is a, okay, that was horrendous. Faith is a what? Substance. Faith is a substance. It's not some ethereal belief. It's not this power of positive thinking. It's not this, well, I just believe this. Now, wait a minute. God said his word and faith work hand in hand. If it's not in the word of God, it is not of faith. If it does not work in accordance with the word of God, it is not faith. It's foolish. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Now, you go to either man and do what you can for your health. You live as healthy as you can. You may even go to doctors. You might go to a natural doctor. You might go to a chiropractor. Thank God for those. You might go to anywhere you choose to get help for your health. But watch this. They'll tell you they can't heal you. They can only aid in your healing. God has to do the healing. Now, that's called faith. You do what you can and let God do the rest. By the way, when somebody prays for you to get well and you don't get well, listen to this, it's not because you didn't have enough faith. It's not because you didn't believe enough. That's like saying you can get to heaven by being good. How good do you have to be? Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If people got saved by their good outweighing their bad, may I say this, some people could boast about how good they are, and how good do you have to be? Well, you have to be as good and as righteous as Jesus Christ. All of us are sinners. All of us has failed at that. All of us are bound for hell because of that. Nor can you get to the point where, well, I just believe if enough people pray for me, I will be well. I'm glad you believe that, but it's not true. I don't care. I'm going to say this. When Dr. Jack Hiles had his heart attack, there were hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people praying for his health, and God took him to heaven. Does that mean people didn't have enough faith? Everybody doing all right? Now, we are all going through the death process. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to show you something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Wow, I have to hurry. Look at verse number 7. By the way, these are not the words of the Apostle Paul. These are the words of God. These were penned by Paul, but these are God's words, not man's words. Look at verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That's not buffet, like where you go to eat. It says buffet, or to hit or strike against. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Watch this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Wow. Now, look at me for just a moment. Your obedience while you are depending on God is your faith. The Apostle Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. What was it? We don't know. Some say it was his eyesight. Some say it was possibly epileptic type seizures, grand mal seizures. Some say it could be any number of things. You say, what do you think it was, preacher? It doesn't matter. God didn't tell us, so it doesn't matter to me what it was. He had something that he went to God for specifically three different times and said, oh God, please take it away. It could have been something as bad as a northern accent. I don't know. But he was asking God to take it away. And God said, no. And Paul said, okay, if you won't take it away, then I need you to use it, and I'll let your strength shine through my weakness. Wow. Sometimes God allows sickness, pain, infirmity, and lack of healing to show what he can do, not what you can do. Look through your Bible and see who God used. Look how many of them were not strong people by nature. Look how many were weak, frail. I don't care who it is. Noah, David, Joseph. David, Samuel came to David's daddy, to Jesse, and said, I need your boys. God's going to choose a king from amongst your boys. Went and got all of David's brothers, and they never even called David. They said, he's too scrawny. He could never be king. They didn't even call him to the table. They had to go fetch him later. He wasn't even considered by his daddy as potential. Hey, boy, that's a lot of confidence, isn't it? Now, wait a minute. Some people talk about Samson. Every Bible story book and liberal out there picture Samson. Most of you picture this guy about 6'7", 285 pounds, got bulging muscles. I don't think that's what Samson looked like. I picture Samson about the size of Lester Roloff and about as big. Looked like his arms had a grape that somebody swallowed and put in there, and it looked like two broom handles out there. Say why? Because I don't think God's mighty power would be as powerful through somebody that was that big. I personally believe, now I wouldn't argue with you, I don't think that that's changing doctrine, but I just happen to believe Samson was some scrawny little runt that nobody expected to be able to do what he did, because it wasn't him, it was God. Gideon hiding behind the winepress, and I could go on and on and on and on and on, but your obedience is your faith. Going on in spite of your ailment is your faith. Recent years, dear friend of mine, Dr. Mike Bajent, acquired cancer, went through chemo and all the other stuff, fought it for about a year, doing good, came back, and God took him with it the second time. Guess what? Kept running his bus routes, kept working, kept doing the things God wanted him to do, all the way up to where he could not function anymore. That was called faith. By the way, I believe God spared him. By the way, if you look back, I happen to know the story. Brother Mike's daddy died about 15, 20 years earlier in age than Brother Mike did. Maybe God spared his life longer because of it. Well, it's just such a shame. This person was only in his 50s and he passed away. Yeah, but maybe he was supposed to, because of the way he lived as a young person, die at 20. But got himself turned around, and look what happened. We don't know. Now, all of us are going to die. It may be prolonged by our faith and our obedience. Boys and girls, teenagers, listen to me. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Did you know that a child adds or subtracts days to their life by how they obey their mom and dad? I wonder how many young people between now and graduation will go out and be killed because they're not obeying. Wonder how many college young people, 18, 19, 20 years old, are on spring break right now, living in total drunkenness, breaking the law, will come back pregnant, come back drunkards, come back alcohol poisoned, come back stoned out of their mind, stupid, because of disobedience. And they're taking years off their life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I'm still a child, but I don't live under my mom and daddy's roof. And I don't mean this the wrong way. I don't have to obey my daddy anymore. He's sitting back there. I honor him. I do. There's times I follow him. We're tearing my kitchen apart. Believe me, my kitchen's in as bad a shape as it is right now. I'm obeying because I don't know nothing about it. I'm dumb labor. Let him tell me what to do. I'm good with it. I understand what my role is. But at the same time, my dad's not sitting there working in my kitchen telling me what I have and have not to preach in church. None of his business. That's between me and God. I don't mean that the wrong way. My dad knows how much I respect him. I think anybody that knows me understands that. But we know our roles, and but as my children, my daughter still has to obey me. She still lives under my roof. Now, when she's out on her own, paying her own bills, and some tow-headed idiot decides to marry her and finally gets through to me, she doesn't have to obey me anymore, but until then, she'll obey me. You say, why? That's my responsibility. That's my responsibility. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Now, I want you to notice back in James chapter 5, look at verse number 15. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. And verse 14, I'm sorry, I read the wrong verse. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elder of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, everybody listen to me. In my desk drawer, I have a little bottle about that tall full of olive oil. It is the same kind of olive oil that many of you have in your kitchen cabinet or in a box somewhere because you're tearing the cabinets apart. But it's the same stuff. It wasn't bought and blessed by the Pope or anything else. It is plain old olive oil. And from time to time, people come to me and say, preacher, having troubles. We've gone to the doctors. We need wisdom. Would you anoint me with oil and pray over me? And I've done that. Now, it's not some spooky ritual. It is simply I take a little bit of oil, put it on my finger. I'll put it usually on the person's forehead or on their hand somewhere, depending on what the situation is. If I don't kick the greenery off the... Pretty bad when the bush kicks the flowers off, amen? But here we go. And I'll pray. That is a symbol of your faith. That's you saying, I've gone to the doctors. I've tried to live healthy. Still can't get to the bottom of this. And God, I really mean business. And it's a picture that you're yielding to the Holy Spirit the best you can to find answers for your health. It doesn't always mean God is going to heal you, pow, and you're healed. You know, it's not putting the oil on you and all of a sudden the sickness slides right out. It's not that at all. My daughter, when she was little, about 4 years old or so, we noticed she was having these little spells. She would just kind of, more than the average girl, she would just kind of go into na-na land. And if she were chewing at the table, she would just kind of, and you'd go, and you know, the lights were on and nobody was home. Well, then it started happening when she was walking. And if she were walking, she would walk right into a piece of furniture and just stand there and walk till she came out of it. Or if the wall, which it's not bad when she's up against something, but when you live in a split level and you got steps, that worries you. Well, I didn't let her play in the front yard because I was afraid she was going to walk out into the street and keep on walking. She wouldn't have known. She just wasn't. She wasn't all there. She's still not all there. But we started registering these things. We went to the doctor. I don't panic, but it was concerning. We went to the doctor. And doctor sent us to another doctor, and they said she had what they call petit mal seizures, and absence seizures, whatever you want to call them. Then we moved from Indiana to here. They changed doctors, changed her medication, messed her up. And she was having 30, 40 of these a day. I mean, we're not talking about once every once in a while. We were up to like 30 or 40 a day. It was getting very concerning. I called John Hopkins University Hospital. I mean, I picked up the phone and called the hospital. I told whoever the lady was that answered the phone the story. She said, well, let me transfer you to pediatric neurology. So the next lady that picked up the phone, I gave her the same story. She was almost in tears. I said, ma'am, I just need help. She said, I'll have somebody call you. I said, okay, could be 6 weeks, but here we go. And within about 15 minutes, my phone rang. Secretary transferred the call to me, and it was Dr. Eric Kossoff, who is the chief of pediatric neurology at Johns Hopkins University. His personal secretary called me. So she wanted information. I gave her the same story. She said, please hold. All of a sudden, a man came on the line. I'm thinking, I've been through three women. Here comes a man. And he said, Pastor Bush, this is Dr. Eric Kossoff. Man, I got the head dude. I told him the story. He said, when could you come to Hopkins? This was Friday, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, any day but Sunday or Wednesday night? He said, could you be here next Thursday? That's 6 days. I said, sure. He said, we're going to have to fax back and forth, a lot of paperwork. I said, doesn't matter to me. He said, all right. He said, I'll see her this time on Thursday. I hung up the phone and asked myself, I said, where's Johns Hopkins at? I had no idea. None. We started. I mean, I got an appointment calling off the street in 6 days. He finally got her medication straight, and after several years, she was totally seizure-free, took her off medicine. She'd been fine. She had a little reoccurrence here or there, but we've gotten through that recent days. Can I tell you something? When we first started with that, we did everything we could do. Went to the pastor I worked for at the time, and he said, how about we anoint her? So my wife and my daughter and I walked into the office, and that's what we did. I believe Dr. Kossoff had the right answers given to him because of the fact that we had enough faith to go to the man of God to anoint us to give us the right answers. Man, it had been 10 years since she had even seen the doctor, had been off medicines for 10 years, had a little reoccurrence of some things. Not as bad, but just slight. I called Dr. Kossoff's office, got an appointment, we took her there. Walked through the door. People were calling us by name. I hadn't been there in 10 years. They did another, what do they call that thing? EEG? Yeah, the egg. I mean, the and the same guy that did her EEG 10 years ago did it again. He said, I remember you. I mean, it was like, whew, these people are strange. I don't remember who it was. Then he started talking. I thought, oh, I remember that conversation. Yeah, I remember that. I mean, they were just Johnny on the spot. He said, you look the same. I said, more of her? He said, be nice. And we just started joking around. Now, wait a minute. I say that to say this. We anointed her. It was not, the lights didn't flash. The air didn't go. She didn't fall on the floor and say, I got it. And none of that. We got done. She said, Daddy, why do we do that? She was only 4 or 5 years old. But I believed that God would give us the right avenue wherewith to find the help she needed. And that's what the praying with oil is all about. It's a symbol, just like your wedding ring. It's a picture, all right? Now, I must hurry. I have about 4 minutes to give you the last point. You ready? You are healed according to your faith, not the faith. The faith is everything necessary to get somebody saved. Your faith is that gift that God gave you for salvation and for growth. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. I'll read one passage. I'll refer to a couple others in the same chapter. And I got to hurry here. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse number 27. And I'm going to start reading while you're turning. Verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, I want you to notice something. There were two blind men that Jesus met while traveling, and they said, Look, we've been blind. We've heard you could heal. Could you heal us? He kept walking and went into a house. Two blind men followed him into a house. Did you ever try to have a blind person follow you? It doesn't say he reached out his arms and led them in. They actually followed him, stumbled their way into the house, and said, Look, you didn't answer us. Are you going to be able to heal us? We've heard you could do this. Would you do this? And he said, Do you believe I can? They said, Would we be standing here if we didn't? He said, Be it done according to your faith. They had done all they could do. And they said, We know you can, but would you? And he said, According to your faith, I will do it. People were healed by their faith. They did all they could do. Earlier in this chapter, in verse number 2, there was a man sick of the palsy. And the Bible talks about that he was there and he did his best to get to Jesus. He had done all he could do. And Jesus said, Take up thy bed and walk. You're healed. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Say, what was that? He had done all he could do. In verse number 20 through 22, just a little bit before this, there was a lady there who had an issue of blood. There was a lady who had blood problems. And she said, If I could just get to him, I don't even have to talk to him. If I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I think I could be healed. She worked her way through the crowd. She wiggled, she warbled, she crawled, she did everything she could do. She found out where he was headed, got to the edge where he was, reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus stopped and said, Who touched me? Now, don't you think in a crowd like that, people were touching him just thronging him? He knew somebody had touched him. He said, Virtue has gone out of me. Somebody came by faith. Who was it? She said, It was me. He said, What was your problem? She told him. He said, You're healed. Guess what? She was. She had done all she could do. Now, even lost people, and don't take this the wrong way, tend to get saved by faith. Not saved. Let me restate that. Get healed by faith. They do all they can. Did you know if you went to the hospital tonight, there are people acting on the faith that they know how to do to go to a doctor to get well? They're doing what they know to do. They're going to their naturopath. They're going to their chiropractors. They're trying to live a healthy lifestyle. They're starting to exercise. They're starting to eat what they call eat right. They're starting to do certain things to try to feel better. And people are doing all these things to try to prolong life, to try to prolong their health. But guess what? We're still all going to die because we're all sinners. I'm not against any of those. By the way, I'm going to read my notes and be done. Healing by faith is not some charismatic speaky freak show. Faith is doing all you can and letting God do the rest. God does all the healing. He will use doctors, medicine, natural ways, or the supernatural to heal, but God is the one who heals. God heals lost people too because they do what they can. And this truly is the fact of faith healing. Malchus didn't even know. He just knew his ear got whacked off. He was standing there holding the side of his head with the blood rushing out. And Jesus said, Peter, put your sword away. Reached down, picked it up, and slapped that old ear back on. And it was fixed. By the way, Malchus kept leading Jesus to be killed at Calvary. He didn't change his way. Everybody doing all right? Doctors are not God. I think you know that. Some of them think they are. But doctors are not God. Medicines are not perfect. By the way, tree bark, grass, and herbs are just as cursed as the doctors are. None of it is perfect. There are some that will help others. I talked to a doctor many, many years ago. He said, do you know why there's so many different kinds of aspirin? Do you ever wonder why there's so many different companies making aspirin? He said, it's not just money. He said, some people can take ibuprofen, but some people can't take regular aspirin. Some people can take Tylenol, but not ibuprofen and not aspirin. He said, not all of it affects everybody's bodies because everybody's bodies are made up chemically different, and not all of them affect them the same way. And that's why there's so many different brands of the same thing. That makes sense. Now, money is a part of it. I'm not saying that there's not, and there's a lot of money out there for it, and I understand that. But neither medicine, nor doctors, nor even what we call natural remedies, none of it's perfect. I don't care. You know, Yul Brynner still died no matter how many grape nuts he ate. It doesn't matter. All of it can be helpful. And by the way, any one of these that you overbalance in is just as wrong as the other. There are people that believe all medicine is evil. I don't believe that. There are some people that believe anything natural is stupid, and I don't believe that either. I believe there's a delicate balance between the two. Now, listen to me very carefully. We are all dying and facing sickness due to our sin. Let's not criticize how we differ with one another on what we do to try to get well. Let's face it. The moment you have a heart attack, you're going to be willing to go to a doctor, I promise you. Just ask Benny Hinn. I hate to tell you that. There are some things, you know, pneumonia, I've had it 6 times now. I've taken bee pollen through all 6 times of bee pollen. It doesn't fix pneumonia, just so you know. I've probably taken more bee pollen than all the colonies of bees in America could produce. I mean, I take it. But I've still gotten sick. Now, probably not as bad as had I not taken it, and I would agree to that. But after the 5th time I had pneumonia, I took a pneumonia vaccine too. Say why? I've only had walking pneumonia once since then, and that was 10, 11 years ago. That's brought an awful lot of relief. Now, I'm not saying every vaccine out there, I'm just going to go stand in line and get. Now, some people, everyone they have out there, you're going to stand in line. I'm not against you. I don't do it. Every time I got a flu vaccine, I got the flu. I got tired of getting the flu, so I quit taking the flu vaccine. It just affected me that way. I know other people, they take it every year, they're fine. God bless you. I'm not doing it. It's just not for me. Now, I think there's a delicate balance there. I think we ought to do our research. Do what we can and let God do the rest. That's called faith in healing. That is faith in healing. Listen to me. Let's not criticize. Let's not get upset with this person doesn't agree with this remedy. Let them do what they can. If they ask you for your advice, give your advice and go on. But let everybody have their opinion as well. Let's not fight over it. Okay? Some people find natural things work very well for them. Others, they're not willing to do it. Okay, let's not criticize one another. I'm not. If you choose to take aspirin instead of, I don't know what you use instead of aspirin that's natural. I don't take much aspirin either, but let's say it's eating raw onions. Well, you can eat a 50-pound bag of onions all you want. I'm taking 2 aspirin. I like onions, but I ain't eating a 50-pound bag of them all in one shot just to get rid of a headache. It probably won't get rid of your headache, but everybody's going to stay away from you to keep you from getting sicker because you're going to smell like an onion. I know people that have drank so much carrot juice, their skin turns orange. Okay, that's too much carrot juice, just so you know. You're not supposed to look like a carrot. You know, I'm for juicing, but getting those Big Macs in there doesn't work real well for some reason. It just doesn't come out right, you know? Now, wait a minute. Whichever route you choose, let's not criticize one another, because either way, God still has to do the healing. God still has to do the healing. Let's all pray. Father, thank you. We sure do love you. Thank you for the word of God, how practical, how simple it is. Lord, may we, in our feeble attempt as we spin around here on this earth and as our bodies age and as we face the consequences of sin, may we do what we can to live healthy so we can help people. But Lord, may we let you do the healing. May we go out and help lost people who are spiritually dead that need the life-giving blood of the gospel, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside there was a truth I needed tonight. I needed it. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Dozens and dozens of hands. Good. In a moment, the music will begin to play. We'll stand to our feet. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, tonight could be that night. If you've trusted Christ and maybe you raised your hand and you need to come to this altar and pray, you do it. Maybe you just need to do what you can to start getting healthy. That's fine. Let's just do what God says about faith and healing.